and they are missionaries that we are at least part of their support, and we're very thankful to have them with us today. They started over in Romania, and now they're in other parts of Europe, and we're looking forward to see what, I don't know what is going to happen here, but we'll see what Dave has to present, and perhaps Beth. And we're, again, thankful that you're with us. And for those that are new, I just wanted to make that very brief introduction. I'm going to pray and turn it over to Dave. Father, we're so thankful that we can meet in the name of Jesus Christ and gather around your precious word as those of like mind and faith in the Lord Jesus and love for you. Bless us by your presence today, we pray thee. We need thee, Father. We ask you to guide and direct in everything that is done here. And may Jesus Christ be glorified. Amen. Dave, come, please.
Good morning. It's a privilege to be here with you once again. We count you as family. And we are privileged to tell you more of what God is doing in the world, what God is doing through the ministry that we serve with, Reach Beyond. For many of you, you may be familiar with Reach Beyond. It used to be called HCJB Global. It celebrated its 90th anniversary last year in 2021. And it's gone through, and especially in the last 25 years, some huge changes. It started originally in Quito, Ecuador, as a shortwave radio station back in 1931. Shortwave was king for getting the gospel around the world in those days between 1931 and the fall of communism. Shortwave radio was able to reach into those communities behind the wall and get the good news in. Reach Beyond, HCJB, also started medical centers, hospitals in Quito, Ecuador. The one in the capital city of Quito is the largest now private hospital in South America. So God has certainly blessed that ministry. But as things happen, things change. Reach Beyond had to reinvent itself to a degree because shortwave no longer was king. So what do we start doing? Well, Reach Beyond then started doing radio plants in various parts of the world, including those countries that originally had been behind the wall. And so we've been able to do that for years. We continue with medical opportunities and community development opportunities in places in Central Asia as well as in other places in Latin America. But again, the last few years, things have changed once again. Reach Beyond has gone through some difficult times as it related to getting new people to the field. Because we were an older organization, it was more difficult to get new ideas of how the gospel could go forward through Reach Beyond. So about 4 years ago, financially, Reach Beyond was in a very difficult position. In fact, they considered at one point whether we should merge with another mission entity or simply close our doors. And so that process then began of how to continue the ministry, how to continue to see God use the ministry for his purposes and for his glory. At about similar to that time, for a variety of reasons, as many of you are well aware, my father-in-law was not doing well health-wise, and we felt it important for us to come back from Romania, which is where we served for almost 8 years, to help with the care of him and my mother-in-law. And then, of course, COVID hit, and then my father also was not doing so well. So it's been a unique experience in these last few years, seeing how God can continue to use us. When we came back, we kind of were like, okay, well, now what do we do? You know, how can we continue to serve with Reach Beyond, or is God wanting us to do something different? Well, he opened up new opportunities that we could never have imagined. The gentleman who was serving in the position of overarching U.S. ministries, which would include mobilization, which is getting people to the field, development, which is relationship with donors, and communications, both internal and external, resigned. And the president of Reach Beyond asked me out of the blue if I would consider taking on those responsibilities. which you can ask my wife. I was like, why? I mean, that's not, I mean, communications, okay, yeah, I've been in radio for years and years. I can get communications. But the other part, that's not my strengths. But we prayed about it, and the Lord impressed upon us that maybe I was the right person for this role at this time. And so that is my current responsibility within Reach Beyond. I have the privilege of serving with some great people inside the organization. And the Lord has blessed Reach Beyond. As I mentioned, financially, we were pretty much in distress. We are now blessed to the point of having almost 2 years' worth of financial resources in the bank that if nothing else came in those 2 years, we could still survive and continue on. So God has certainly blessed us way beyond we could ever imagine. So that just gives you a little bit of the background of where we are today. My role has changed. I'm not managing a radio station. I'm not overseeing a Romanian ministry. I'm now overseeing some U.S. ministries. But interestingly enough, in all of this process, God has opened up some international doors that we could not have imagined as well, including going to Greece and working with refugees. And most recently, being able to go back to Central Europe, Eastern Europe, as it relates to what's taking place currently in Ukraine and Russia. So this morning I want to give you a little bit of a look at what is God doing in the world today. So you think about this. 2015 to today, refugees have continued to come. Now refugees have been moving across the world from the beginning of time. I mean, Abraham was a refugee. He left his country and went somewhere where he didn't even know. Jesus was a refugee. For a short time, you may recall, after he was born, his family went to Egypt. So refugees throughout Scripture, they are there. Refugees throughout history are there. But particularly, there are more refugees from 2015 to today than there ever have been. And I don't just mean refugees, but as we look at this a little bit more, it's also asylum seekers, it's migrants. COVID-19. Why? You know, why did God allow this? It has changed the world as we know it. You think about the impact COVID-19 has had on us personally, but then you think of how it's impacted globally. Travel has been restricted. People have lost jobs. Economies have been put in distress. It's a huge impact on the world. Also from 2019 to today, there's been many losses. Many of us have lost family or friends. Many of us have lost jobs, lost relationships, lost ministry opportunities. So there's been huge loss for many of us. And then obviously this year, there's a new brand new war, a horrific situation in Ukraine, which we will get to. In 2021, I had the privilege of going to the National Religious Broadcasters Convention and hearing Dr. Anthony Evans. Are any of you familiar with Dr. Evans? Pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, has been there for years and years. And he talked a little bit about his story over the last year of COVID and things that had been taking place. And he lost his wife. He lost another family member. The church had been devastated by COVID and other things. And so he wanted to share with those of us who were at the conference some thoughts on what God was up to. So I just want you to watch this clip, if you would.
Passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 3 to 6, it says that there was no peace in those days. It says citizens were at peace when they left home, and when they came back home, there was conflict, personal conflict, family conflict. He goes on and says there was conflict, city against city, urban conflict. He goes on and says there was conflict, nation against nation, international conflict. And then we get the zinger in verse 6, because it says, for God troubled them with every kind of distress. I would have thought it would have said, with all of this havoc, that the devil troubled them with every kind of distress. But it says God troubled them with every kind of distress because God was shaking things up to get things back in order again. I would like to suggest to you, they were told in their distress, verse 3 says of 2 Chronicles 15, when stuff got bad enough, when stuff was so chaotic, it says in their distress, they came back to the Lord and he let them find him and brought them rest. Perhaps some of you have heard me tell the story of when I met my wife at 18. I met her at 18, this beautiful young lady. But there was a problem. She was not responding at the rate to which I was accustomed. Lois was moving kind of slow, so I had to help her sister out. I took her to an amusement park in Baltimore, Maryland called Gwin Oaks Amusement Park. And at Gwin Oaks Amusement Park, they had a roller coaster for two called the Wild Mouse. The Wild Mouse would do all the stuff that roller coasters would do, but then it would go to the edge like it was going to jump the track, and then it would turn real quick, real scary. I said, give me two tickets. We got on the Wild Mouse. The wilder the ride got, the closer she got. By the time the ride was over, you thought only one person got on it. Now, why did I buy two tickets to the Wild Mouse? Because I had a plan for her, and it was a good plan. It involved a future and a hope. But what I had to do was I had to create some distress first to get her undivided attention. The author of Hebrews says that when God is ready to do something new, he creates a disturbance. And the reason he creates the disturbance, he says, is to shake created things, earthbound things, physical things, in order to reveal that which cannot be shaken. In other words, God shakes our physical human reality to get us spiritually back on point.
So that's what we feel God is doing in the world today. He's shaking things up. And for those of us who like the same, 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 that's not where we live anymore. As it relates to the ministries that God has given us, things have been shaken up. This little graphic shows a little bit about, and this is from 2017, so this is 5 years old already. But this shows refugees, migrants, and asylum seekers moving across the globe. And I hope you can see it well enough. As you can see, in the blue are different areas of the world. North America is at the top. South America is on the left side of the screen. Africa is down the bottom left. Australia is in the bottom right. Asia is in the middle right. And then Europe is at the top. What those arrows represent, and those bigger arrows, the circular arrows, that represents people, the circular arrows represent people moving inside that continent. The large arrows that point from one continent to another indicate the numbers of people moving from one continent to another. So, for example, number of people in 2017 going from Africa to Europe was 9.3 million people. Again, 2017, 5 years ago. The number of people moving within Africa was 19.4 million people. The number of people moving from Asia to Europe in 2017 was 20.5 million people. Okay? Those statistics also show that movement of peoples is happening in every region of the world. It's not just Asia to Europe or Africa to Europe or Central and South America to the United States. It's happening everywhere. This is one of the first times that this numbers of people this huge majorities of people are moving across the world. And so you have to ask yourself, what is God doing? Why? Why would he shake things up like this? Well, the reason becomes fairly clear when you recognize that many of the peoples that are moving are people that were in closed countries to the gospel, which means the church needs to be ready. People are moving. How are we going to show the love of Jesus and communicate the gospel to those individuals? So a little bit about the refugee camps and ministries that we've been able to be a part of in Greece. My first trip to Greece was in 2019. Is that right? Yeah, 2019. And since then, I've been back a total of 9 times to work on the island of Lesbos and in Athens. Here is just a look at the country of Greece. Those red dots are all locations of camps inside Greece where refugees, migrants, and asylum seekers are. The one we particularly have been to, and I don't know if this will show up or not. Ah, good, it does. It's right there. That's the little island of Lesbos. This is Turkey right here. So you can see we're much closer to Turkey than we are to Greece, to the rest of the mainland Greece. But that's where Lesbos is, and we've been able to serve there. In January of this year, I had the privilege of taking a team from Oklahoma Baptist University. This was the second time that we had the privilege of working with them. We went to the work on the refugee camp on Lesbos. Now, this is the second refugee camp on Lesbos because the one that we previously went to burned down in 2020, and they had to quickly reestablish a new camp. We worked with an organization there called EuroRelief. EuroRelief now is not just in Greece, but they've expanded into camps for refugees coming out of Ukraine as well. But basically, the government has given EuroRelief the assignment of running the camps. They're not in charge of the police, but they're in charge of pretty much everything else. When people come into the camp, EuroRelief gives them clothing and shelter, gets them food, and all of these kinds of things. And so what we did in the camp, we served every which way you can imagine. We moved people. We handed out clothing. We put up tents. We actually put insulation on what are called refugee housing units. One of the challenges as a follower of Christ is you can't proselytize in the camp. It's forbidden. So many people have asked us, well, then why as a missionary or as a Christian would you be there? I mean, your main point is serving, sharing the gospel, right? And we would say, yes, you're exactly right. But this is what happens in those camps. You have to remember, specifically in this situation, people are coming from the Middle East. They're coming from Iran, Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, Pakistan. So all of that area of the world, predominantly Muslim. And 99% of the people that we meet in these camps are Muslim. But they're not dumb either. They know who we are. In fact, almost every day in the camp, someone would say, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" And the first time I was asked that question, of course, I can't proselytize. So in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, well, how do I answer that question? Now I just say yes. But the first time, it was kind of like, well, yeah, but they know who we are, and they want to talk to us, because everything they've been told about Christianity is that Christians hate us, Christians want to kill us. They think back to their history of the Crusades. That's what they know of Christians. But why would a Christian come and serve me? I don't want to be in this camp. And I'm trying to flee persecution and war. But why would someone from either Europe or the United States want to be here? There's something different about those people. So we are able then to have some conversations with them because they invited us. We can't overtly preach, but if they ask us questions, we can share. So we have that privilege. We've been blessed in that respect. So your relief allows us to do these kinds of ministries. By the way, if you ever hear, oh, the Jollies are going to Greece in January, they're going for a nice vacation on the beach. No, Greece is not as warm in January. In fact, most of the days that we were there on the island, it was raining and temperatures in the 30s and 40s right on the water. So you can imagine how cold that is, how cold that felt. But anyway, here are just some of the things that we, this was the team in the upper right that we were able to serve with. The picture on the left there, that's the insulation. We unloaded insulation almost every other day. Because the refugee housing units were getting insulated, and part of our job then was taking those and wrapping them over those units. And then this is part of the team, again, in the camp. Of course, it was still during COVID days, so everybody had to mask up constantly. It was a 300 euro fine if the authorities caught you without having a mask on inside the camp. So that's a little bit about Greece. I wanted to talk a little bit about what's taking place as well in Central and Eastern Europe. And if any of you follow the news, you probably are well aware of what's taking place in that area of the world. Here's a map, and I'll start down here. This is Romania. That's where Beth and I served. The city right there, Arad, is where we lived for almost 8 years. This is Hungary. This is Slovakia. This is Poland, and then Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia. This is Ukraine, and obviously Russia, and Belarus is here. And this little country right there is Moldova. Moldova used to be part of Romania, and then it was separate. But there's also a segment right in this region between Moldova and Ukraine that's called Transnistria. Keep your eye on that area, because Transnistria is predominantly Russian-speaking, and there have been already attempts by Russia to make a pretext for going in to help the Russian speakers in Transnistria as they are helping in Donbas and Luhansk in Ukraine. And if that happens, then that opens up a whole new scenario where NATO potentially could become involved, because Transnistria is still part of Moldova, technically. Moldova is ethnically Romanian. They would ask for help from Romania, and Romania is part of NATO. So things could definitely accelerate in a hurry, just watching that area of the world. But as you can see, Ukraine has huge boundaries with Moldova, Romania, Hungary, Slovakia, Poland. As of when we were there a couple of weeks ago, 3.5 million people had gone into Poland. 1 million people had gone into Romania, and Slovakia had about 500,000. Moldova, that little tiny country, had also taken in about 500,000 people. So already we're close to 10 million people. Well, it's about 7 now, but they anticipate up to 10 million people could leave Ukraine before the end of the year. That's a huge influx of people for these countries to become involved in. So when we went to Central and Eastern Europe, we had the privilege of visiting our former church in Arad, Harvest Arad. We also went to a location called Susan. And in Poland, we visited an organization that Reach Beyond actually helped begin back in the early 1990s, called CCM. And then we visited with a Ukrainian pastor and his wife, Yulia. And I want to tell a little bit about all of these things in the next few minutes. So yes, it was kind of heading back home for us. It was a joy to get back to see old partners in ministry, friends, co-workers, our church, and then just to visit some of the old sites where we used to live and see things like that. So it was kind of going back home. So some ministry partners in Romania. Callum King is the gentleman on the left. He actually is from Scotland. He's not Romanian. Callum King doesn't sound Romanian. But he originally went to Romania to work in a camp for youth, primarily for Roma. The term we normally use is gypsies. And so he's been working in a camping ministry for years. He also started going to Greece in 2015 and 16, and working in the Serbian border when refugees would come across from Greece. Then he started in this last year, he started his own organization called Associația pentru Refugiați Ajutor, which basically means Association for Helping of Refugees in Romania. He never envisioned himself doing anything like that, but that is where the Lord has led him. And so we were able to give him some fixed-tuned solar-powered radios, which had been provided by Galcom International, for him to take to the border. These radios are already fixed-tuned to Ukrainian radio stations. And so people coming across the border could get those, or if they went inside Ukraine, they could hand those out. One of the challenges was, unfortunately, those were programmed by people back in the U.S., and so originally they weren't working well because the frequencies when they were going to be broadcast was not during the day, it was only at night. Anyway, but those are now in Ukraine, and so hopefully they'll continue to be used. We also went to our church, Harvest the Rad. Our pastor, Christy Barbosu, is there. He actually was trained here in the U.S., went to Moody Bible Institute and Dallas Seminary, but he is Romanian and has gone back to his country in the late 90s to serve as pastor. But the church, because of what's taking place along the border, has become very active in helping. They are bringing refugees back to Arad from the border area, finding them places to live, helping them find jobs, giving them whatever they need to be able to live in Romania. They're also taking teams, and they've been taking teams every week since the war began to serve along the border or inside Ukraine. The challenge, of course, is going to be the church and the people can't keep that pace up forever. So I would ask that you pray for Harvest the Rad and the ministry that they're having, that God would give them the energy and the resources to continue to be able to do what they're doing. We also went to visit the House of Joy in Susan, Romania. It is an amazing place. In 2014, we had the first time privilege of visiting with Ovidiu Petric. Ovidiu and his wife Adina run the House of Joy in Susan. And again, it was started as a summer camp type program. And Susan is a little village, probably not more than 400 to 500 people that live in the village. When you first drive into it, it feels like you've gone back in time because these old Romanian villages haven't changed, you know, for probably 150 years or more. But this brand new House of Joy was being built, and they had ministries in the community. They would go out and provide food and humanitarian aid to the very poor people who lived in the village. And when the war broke out, Ovidiu tells tells the story that he was upset. And so he wrote something on Facebook about Vladimir Putin, and as most of us would probably identify with what his thoughts might have been about Putin at that point. But someone challenged him and said, well, you know, you are a leader in the community. You are a follower of Christ, and people know who you are. Maybe that's not the best way for you to minister in this time. So we felt convicted and took it down, and decided instead to open the House of Joy as a center for refugees coming from Ukraine. Now, you have to understand, all of his funding was for summer camp ministries. Partners in Romania, partners in the U.S. and other places were giving to support this ministry because of it was a summer camp ministry. So he was risking basically his entire source of income for the ministry. But he felt God wanted him to do this. So that's what he did. So he's been back and forth to the border, I don't know how many times now, picking up refugees, bringing them back to the House of Joy. This last week, he went up and picked up another group, and there are now 60 or so refugees staying in this House of Joy. They can take up to approximately 200 at a time. It's a beautiful facility. Private rooms, showers, and he is allowing them to stay for free as long as they need to. For those who desire to go further, if they want to try and get into other parts of Europe, if they have family members there, he buys them plane tickets or train tickets and will put them on their way, trusting that God will provide for him. So it's an amazing story of how the Lord changed his heart to wanting to reach out to those who were suffering. He is hearing firsthand the stories of those women and children who fled Ukraine, and they are heartbreaking. When Beth and I were there, you know, it was very humbling, to be honest. We went there just so that we could encourage Ovidiu and the refugees who were there. And we drove up and found out that they'd heard we were coming, and so out of their meager supplies, they had fixed us breakfast. They wanted to share with us what God was doing in their hearts. So we had the privilege of visiting with some of the women there, hearing their stories of hiding in the basement. The woman, right, let me go back. The woman, right there, speaks some English. The rest of the women didn't. And so we were able to hear her story. They were from Kharkiv, which is northeast of Kyiv, if you can picture that on the map. When the battle started, the Russians were coming in from all of those directions, heading toward Kyiv. And they hid in their basements, not knowing what the future would hold. She talks about how they had some people, because there was not enough food where they were staying, or water, some people decided to try and go out and try and find some, and they were killed. Finally, they decided, you know, we can't stay here. We have to make a break for it. And they got closer to Kyiv and found out about a route that was open where they could head to Romania. That was the only route at that point which was open. They couldn't get close to Poland, which is where they really wanted to try and get to. But they said, okay, Lord, if this is where you have us going, I guess you have a reason. So they headed to Romania, and the woman here on the route from Kyiv to the House of Joy in Susan became a follower of Christ because of the testimony. Right there. She became a follower of Christ because of the testimony of those people that she was with, and how even everything that was so terrible was happening around them, God was still in control, and God had a perfect plan for them. So it's these stories of life change that you hear, that when you realize how horrific things are, and we would never want this for anyone to have to deal with, yet still in these regions of the world, God is constantly at work. His people are there, and he is doing something in those who do not yet know him. We also met this couple, Vitaly and Yulia. We had the privilege of meeting them in Poland. And we went up to Poland to visit with CCM, as I mentioned at the beginning. It was a partner of Reach Beyond. And they have radio stations in Poland spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've also, once the war started, they realized, okay, there's a need here that we have to start filling. And that included providing materials for trauma counseling in Ukrainian. How do you get through something like this? Like PTSD. This is what the refugees coming out from Ukraine have experienced now. They also need to hear gospel presentations that are applicable to their situation. And so Vitaly and Yulia, Vitaly was out of the country. He is from Sumy in Ukraine, which is in the extreme northeast corner. Sumy has been completely, basically wiped off the face of the earth. He was out of the country when the war started. Yulia was still in the country, and so she had to flee. But they were able to get back together in Poland, and Vitaly has been recording messages in Ukrainian for CCM, which they are now getting out to people through social media channels about trauma healing and other opportunities. And so we have the chance to visit with them, and I want to try and share a little bit of the interview we did with them. Here, as we are talking, I asked them, what specifically would you want churches in America or churches in the West or mission agencies to know about the situation here?
Первое, регулярно молиться, чтобы путинская армия остановилась, чтобы был разрушен этот дух империализма.
First, you need to pray regularly to stop Russian army and to destroy this spirit of the emperor.
Мы это очень понимаем, что это серьезнейшая духовная сфера.
We understand that it's very important spiritual sphere.
Сегодня в Поднебесье идет битва.
There is a battle on heaven now.
И второе, чтобы пришла и физическая победа.
And secondly, also you need to pray about physical victory.
Чтобы Бог укрепил украинцев в это время.
That God will make stronger Ukrainians now.
Утешил близких тех тысяч людей, которые погибли.
That he will give comfort to those who, to those families that have somebody who is been killed in this war.
Бог дал силы нашему президенту и всех, кто при власти, и военным.
To give our president and our military forces strength to stand and to go through it.
И за предприятия не работают.
Lots of factories are not working now.
Путинская армия специально бомбит места инфраструктуры.
Mm-hmm. Russian army is bombing specifically the infrastructure in every city.
Это хабы огромные с продовольствием.
It's the big hubs with food.
Это заводы по переработке бензина.
It's also factories that are producing gas.
Стараясь полностью парализовать экономику и жизнь в Украине.
They try to stop economic and life in Ukraine.
Это не военные объекты.
It's not the war objects.
Это геноцид Украины.
It's genocide of Ukraine.
Это то, что происходит сейчас.
It is happening now.
И мы понимаем, что будут последствия, последствия от этой войны.
And we understand that there will be consequences of this war.
Поэтому нам нужна будет гуманитарная помощь.
That's why we understand that we will need humanitarian aid and we need it now.
Всевозможное.
Any help.
Есть много историй, сейчас просто нет времени их рассказать.
There are lots of stories that we know.
Это ужас. И третье.
And third reason, or third thing that you need to pray
среди
for.
Среди этой трагедии. Есть небывалая возможность для проповеди Евангелия.
Among, in spite of this tragedy, there is a great chance to preach gospel.
И нам важно усилить эту сферу.
And it's very important to make efforts in this sphere.
Нам нужно заполнить эфир интернета, радио, телевидения.
We need to fulfill the content on radio, TV.
Небесной надеждой.
With the heavenly hope.
Нам нужно прийти к каждому украинцу.
We need to come to every Ukrainian.
Мы сейчас развешиваем бигборды по всей Украине.
Now we are hanging billboards all over Ukraine.
Христос воскрес, воскреснет Украина.
And it says, Jesus is risen, Ukraine will also will be risen.
Мы расклеиваем места Писания. Мы не хотим, чтобы украинский народ ожесточился.
We don't want Ukrainians to be hard in their hearts.
Поэтому поддерживайте украинские церкви.
That's why support Ukrainian churches.
Все сейчас работают.
Everybody is working now.
Я вам покажу сейчас видео, что сегодня происходит в моей церкви.
I can see video what is happening in our church now.
Они готовят сейчас продуктовые пакеты и выезжают для того, чтобы дать людям, которые физически голодны.
They are making the food bags. They prepare them to go to the villages to minister to the people.
Сегодня нужен транспорт.
Also, we need transport.
Ну, помогите, пожалуйста.
Help us, please.
Those are his people that he's seen dying. His church friends, his church family. As you can tell, it's very personal for him. It's not just a news story. And for whatever reason, God is allowing it. But he's allowing it for a purpose, for his name somehow to be lifted high. Please pray for them, Vitaly and Yulia. So what should we be doing? Realize the status quo isn't acceptable. God is shaking things up, whether we like it or not. He is shaking things up. We can't keep doing the same things the same way and expecting him to bless. He's wanting to see his people get back on track with his mission, which is Matthew 28, going and spreading the good news of the gospel. Paul warned Timothy, be prepared for changes. Same thing is true for us. Be prepared for more changes to come. We know that in the end times, things will get worse. They're not going to get better, so be prepared for more changes. Thirdly, God is wanting his people to draw closer to him, as what Tony Evans discussed in his clip that we shared with his wife. If God is, you know, putting scary things in front of us, there's a reason why he's doing it. Are we willing to move closer to him? Also, have compassion. Compassion really is to suffer with. So suffer with the least of these. Feel their pain. Don't ignore it. Become involved in sharing the love of Jesus with them. Be present. Find out where they are. If you don't know, find out. How can you go visit them? Matthew 25, Jesus talks about separating the sheep from the goats, as you recall. One of the things he talked about, you visited me in prison. Find out where they are. Go visit them. Meet physical, emotional, and spiritual needs as you can. John 10, Jesus is the door. Share the love of Christ with them and that he is their hope. John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He that cometh to me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He is their only hope. And then lastly, as it relates to ministry for the least of these, here are some things that we can, some postures that we can take and should take. We're a guest. They're our guest, but we are also their guests in many ways because we need to understand and experience, allow them to share with us their stories. And when I say that, I don't mean you should go up to them and say, tell me your story, you know, if you're a refugee from Iran, what was your story? But allow them to share because they will. Secondly, be a learner. Sometimes, and I'm sorry, as an American, sometimes we think we know it all, and we don't. So be a learner. Be an observer. What do they need? Sometimes it's very evident what they need. Be an encourager. Give them a hug if they need it. Men don't hug a Muslim woman, but I'm just saying, women, you can hug. Be a prayer. Get on your knees. Plead for God to work in their hearts, in their lives, in the situation in Ukraine. And then be a servant. Jesus was King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, yet he came as a servant. Can we really do anything but that? We need to serve. So I want to leave you with a little bit of a passage from Habakkuk, talking about what God is doing. This is a prayer that Habakkuk actually sang, and I just want to read a snippet of it. I have heard all about you, Lord. I am filled with awe by your amazing works. In this time of our deep need, help us again as you did in years gone by, and in your anger, remember your mercy. I see God moving across the deserts from Edom, the Holy One coming from Mount Paran. His brilliant splendor fills the heavens, and the earth is filled with his praise. His coming is as brilliant as the sunrise. Rays of light flash from his hands where his awesome power is hidden. Pestilence marches before him. Plague follows close behind. When he stops, the earth shakes. When he looks, the nations tremble. He shatters the everlasting mountains and levels the eternal hills. He is the Eternal One. God is in control. For his purposes and his glory, he is shaking things up. Are we drawing close? I pray that we are. Let's pray. Father, we are awestruck at how you work, at how you love, at how you bring about circumstances that will bring you glory in the end. And so, Father, we just commit ourselves again to you, asking for you to use us however, wherever, whenever it pleases you. Thank you, Father, for this church family and their desire to fulfill their calling here. And we pray for them and ask, Lord, that you would keep them strong in their faith, walking closely with you. And we praise you for them. Thank you for this day that we can worship you, and we commit this time in Jesus' name. Amen.